Okay, good. First of all, just a comment, just what Richard's been saying. It's always good to have a context, and I think what Daniel said it was spot on. Many of you don't know, but the original idea of the across Britain, the cross thing, was something that came up many, many years ago as a prompt from God, directly from God. And when it was shared at the time, there was a possibility that what was going to happen when quite a few people had this vision from God, that when Daniel was retiring or around that time, the idea was to have a massive TFM walk across Britain where we'd start for the Four Corners and meet in the middle, and it would be a wonderful celebration of faith. Daniel would preach, then retire, in inverted commas. You know, there'll be an ending of a ministry for Daniel. So that's where it came from. And come in, come and sit down. Yeah. But the other thing really is that you link the past with the present and the future, don't you? And I must say that, you know, having been with Dan for 30 plus years, we must look to the past for the present and the future. And by this, I mean, what is God saying? You know, I say this in every sort of planning and training stuff. You can have good ideas, which there may be, but what about, are they God's ideas? And before we start going down any sort of passage, I would implore us all, let's make sure they're God ideas by praying and seeking God. And always in the past, I'm not going to go on about the past, but there's been something discernible from God that this was the right direction. That was the right next step, even though it seemed absolutely crazy, stupid, walking down the Pennines or whatever, and consistently. So that's the only thing I would add to it. I'm not. We have to find a way forward. There's got to be a way forward. But let's just make sure that we're praying together and feedback to Richard. You know, he needs, you know, our sort of thoughts and sharing and all the rest of it. So there we are. That's me 3 minutes on that one. That's nothing at all. So I was going to come up and say, it's a very great pleasure. I mean, you know, my name's Roger Murphy, and I've had connections with the Emerald Isle for, I think I've been over there for 22 years now, over in Northern Ireland or across Ireland, and it's been great. And now, looking forward to the future, many, many sort of missions, etc. And it's with great pleasure that we can announce now officially. I know many of you have been praying for Jim, and in the background you might think, well, what's been going on in the last year? Well, we have a sense, and just linking back to what I've just said, God's hand's been in this all the time. I mean, Jim was going to start a lot earlier. But actually, God was very, very good. He'll probably tell you a bit about this himself. But he had a voluntary exit scheme from his work, which makes Jim an extremely rich man. No. It gives him some from the way he's worked in the past. And Jim finishes at his job. He'll tell you a bit about his job, etc. And then he starts on the 1st of August. He starts as two-thirds as a sort of church evangelist on an estate, which he'll tell you about in Sego near Lisbon, Portadown, quite a tough estate as a church planter. And the other third of his time, he'll be with myself as I'll be mentoring and training him next couple of years, and then you're on your own, Jim. No. Right, seriously, no, it's at the handover. So it's legacy. And, you know, TFM have had its ups and downs with finances recently, but a lovely story, which I don't think many of you know. There was a legacy that came in for the exact amount of money that was to support Jim, marvelously. And the person whose legacy it was a lady who we didn't even know years ago, an aunt of somebody who died. But David, being his sufficient self, wrote back to the whatever. And the person from whom all this came was a person who's was impacted as a 10-year-old by Daniel on a mission. And further on down the line, was a prayer partner of mine from days in Warwick. I know him and his family. Isn't God good? That's what I'm talking about, the God instances. Couldn't make it up, could you? So praise God. So that's some provision. It's about £5, Jim. So, but yeah, that's right. I'm going to shut up and let Jim have a chat. But basically, I've been over with Jim in Northern Ireland in the last few days this week, when we've been down to set up his new job down in Seago. We've also seen a very politically challenging church that we may have a mission in. I can't say who it is or where it is at the moment, because they're still considering it, but it's it'll be an interesting one. And then on the next day, we saw a couple of other people, including a bishop from the south of Ireland, who will probably open up a whole raft of things across the south of Ireland. Now, this has been on the cards for many years. Daniel and I went over many, many years ago, and it's never really been the right time. But maybe now, in these times ahead, to go into the Catholic-dominated south of Ireland with a large-scale mission is something that's been on many, many people's hearts, and I know on your prayers. But if you, we can't sort of say any names or places or anything like that, because it's not official. But we got a resounding, yes, we feel this is of God. Let's make sure. So that's on the cards as well. So Jim won't be too busy. But give a big round of applause for Jim. No, mate. He's not a bad bloke. Well, I don't know, really. No. Jim, tell him a bit about yourself and all the rest of it and what your reflections are.
Thank you, Roger. Good evening. Good evening. Is it that late? How long have we been here for? How long has he spoken for? Yes, I'd like to thank you, first of all, for your prayers, first and foremost. This has been talked about for the last maybe 2 years, actually. At the time, for me personally, it seemed like, yeah, that's a fair bit off. I've worked for the same organisation for now nearly 29 years, so I am quite institutionalized, and I'm used to doing things in a certain manner, etc. So that's been talked about. Yeah, that was okay, because it seemed sort of, yeah, some stage in the future. But as time's gone on, it's got closer and closer, and now it's sort of right where we are. But it's fantastic, a bit surreal, actually. But yeah, humbled and blessed to be able to work, you know, for an organization like Through Faith Missions. To be able to reach those who need to hear the message, reach the lost with the wonderful message and treasure which we've been given, which is an absolute pleasure and blessing. As I say, I've worked for the same organization for 29 years. I have been employed to tell lies for a lot of those years. I am a meteorologist. We always get flack when it's raining, but I haven't heard anybody say yet today, Jim, thanks for the good weather. So yeah, I've been weather forecasting for quite a number of years, working for the Met Office. And as Roger said, I was all set to resign at the end of December. As I said, it sort of was becoming closer and closer, and I've been working out, okay, what have I got to do? So I got to the bit where I thought, right, what do I have to do to actually go through the process of resignation? So I had that all sorted in my mind. And I was working for I'd been seconded to the road service in Northern Ireland for the winter period, looking after the roads surface forecasting. And one of my bosses had called in to see me one afternoon, usual, how are you, Jim, everything okay, et cetera, et cetera. And then he floated past me, we're going to be doing a voluntary exit scheme. Do you think you'd be interested? And Jim's going, could be. Play it cool. So, interested. As soon as it was advertised, I think my application was actually probably the first one in. But thanks to Roger and the rest of TFM guys, and also to Seago as well, I'm happy to wait for me. So, application in, thankfully successful, and now start on the 1st of August, as Roger said. So for the first while, I'll be working with, which will be two-thirds of my time, with Seago Parish. They have an estate within the bounds of the parish, and I'll be the outreach worker in this estate. Now, they did a church plant there maybe 50, 60 years ago, and there is an old hall still on the estate with a more modern youth building attached onto it. The legacy of that is it's an aging and quite traditional congregation on the estate, but bears little relevance to the people on the estate nowadays. So they try to do something different, something fresh on the estate to bring the gospel, which of course doesn't change as we know, but to bring that gospel in a more relevant way into the estate. So that's going to be two-thirds of my job. Talking to the rector a few days back with Roger, he's essentially sort of, there's no sort of preconditions, etc. It's just go and evangelize and just see how God leads, how the Spirit leads before we actually try to formalize anything further down the line. And the other third then obviously would be working with Roger on doing missions around Ireland, which is very exciting. I've been on three missions so far in Northern Ireland. But like Roger, I have, over the last number of years, God has certainly burst something in me for Ireland in general, yes, but particularly for the South, particularly for the Republic. Even just looking at the statistics a couple of days back, the population of the Irish Republic is 4.8 million. The number of evangelical Christians out of that population, it's hard to get figures, but they reckon about 10 years ago in 2006, there were 30,000 evangelical Christians in the Republic of Ireland. So that equates to 0.6%. It is the least evangelized English-speaking part of the world. And literally, they are bang on our doorsteps. And especially, I mean, society has changed an awful lot in the Irish Republic over the last 20 years with the demise of the Catholic Church, that sort of dominance of the Catholic Church. It is very encouraging to see now there are lots of independent evangelical churches are springing up across the country, mostly down the eastern side, around Dublin City and Cork, the main sort of population areas. But there's big areas still, particularly in the west of the country, where you could go for miles and there literally are no churches. But it's also true in Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, population 1.8 million. Evangelical Christians in the north, we're probably looking at about 8%, the statistics suggest, which is probably on a par with what it is in England. We've got churches in, you know, in some parts of Northern Ireland, like where I live in East Belfast, we have churches in every corner. There's churches everywhere. But you can go to other parts of Belfast, just the other side of the city, the Nationalist Republican West Belfast, for example. You will not find one evangelical church in a population of 150,000, maybe. So you've got massive areas in the north as well, which are under-evangelized. The political situation, especially in the north, doesn't help that, unfortunately. But it's a challenge for us and something that really desperately needs to be met. In those areas in Northern Ireland, there may be small house fellowships, which is fantastic, or churches around the peripheries of these areas, which are doing some work into them. But what these places need are their own sort of community churches so they can buy into and be relevant for them. So that's the plan. I mean, Roger was over with me for a couple of days, as he mentioned last week. We had a few very positive meetings with Lexa Newwine, with this bishop from the west of Ireland who is very keen on a walk mission or something, maybe with teams based in certain areas, which, again, if that comes off, would be absolutely fantastic, into an area, you know, which really, you know, does need it. So your prayers would be certainly valued and much appreciated, and thank you for your welcome.
I think we'll pray for you in a moment, Jim. But the other thing that is interesting, just tell folk that might not have realised your theological background and your training within the Diocese of Down and Dromore, and what you've done and how that links in. I mean,
yeah, I joined Willowfield Church, Willowfield Parish. I don't know if any of you know David McClay, et cetera, et cetera. Just over four years ago, I'd been working, volunteering with Christians Against Poverty, running a centre in East Belfast. And through, this is where sort of God birthed in me, the sort of the heart for evangelism, through seeing people released from their debt, which is what CAPR really good at, but also then sort of through evangelizing with people, seeing them released from the biggest debt that any of us, you know, have, that debt of sin, was absolutely awesome. Seeing lives, you know, transform for the kingdom was amazing. But as the CAP Center came to an end, and my wife and I, you know, as a result of that, we moved church to Willowfield. But we weren't at Willowfield very long, where they were advertising, not Willowfield, just Willowfield, of course, but, you know, the Down Dromore Diocese. Evangelism training, and this was, wow, this is something I've been crying out for you know, several years, trying to do evangelism, but, you know, sort of learning bits off the internet or getting bits and pieces from all different sort of areas, a little bit through Christians Against Poverty as well, but to have some formalized training was fantastic. So what they did was, Willowfield, I'd say the Down Dromore, were looking to partner with an organization to do evangelism training. And what they found was the best training available was the SCE course. So that's where my wife and I, and I think there's about 11 others of us, were the first ones to go through the SCE course in Ireland. So we now are developing, we're now into the third sort of set of, or group of people going through that course. So what we're building up in Ireland is trained evangelists. We have guys who've been on TFM walks in the past, which is fantastic, but we're now getting guys through as well, and more of them, guys who are mission ready, let's say, who have done all the training, done the, you know, are being equipped through this training, and New Wine actually, as you know, probably have taken the training on, so it's fantastic to have that. So in terms of been able to get guys for missions and for walks, etc., we do have that ready pool of people there, so that's a blessing as well. Anything else, Roger, I can say on that?
No, I think it's very interesting because, again, God's in all that. You know, the SCE training started here with John Hibbert, didn't it, 6 or 7 years ago? There was a call from Macedonia or Belfast or whatever to come over and to see what sort of training we did. We went over there and taught them the training of SCE and how we train evangelists, and that was taken on. Along comes Jim the first time, and they've trained, I think George was saying on Wednesday, 34, 35. There's another lot being commissioned within the Diocese of Down and Dromore, which is the one across the East Belfast and everything. So there you go. So the legacy, very much so with us. And I thought it'd be good if we could pray for Jim. Where he's at, Killiecamane, an estate. Estates are estates, aren't they? But, of course, those of you who have been over to Northern Ireland, and you remember some of you have been in the mission and the rest of it, it's a very sort of low-key paramilitary estate. It's a Protestant estate. There's the British flags everywhere. There's all that overlay of all that sort of stuff going on. And so it is a tough, but there's two or three generations, as Jim was saying, that actually there are churches there, but it's very much traditional church, but the people are not coming. So it's a great thing that Jim's been given that sort of freedom to go and make relationships on the estate and other forms of church, which is a great blessing from the people who have admitted and hold their hands up and say, this is not working, which is quite an admission, to actually do something different. So I think let's pray for Jim. Lisa got to put up with me for a while, but Come on, you come and pray. Daniel. Daniel's in part of his past here. Richard. Dave. Ros. Let's just pray the staff. That's it. Yeah, whoever wants to pray. Yeah, you come in. Go on. Okay. Yeah, Dave.
Father, bless you for this man and his heart for evangelism. Thank you that you've raised him up, you've taught him, and you brought him to this point. As he begins to finish off the last few days before he joins TFM, I pray that you clear his mind of the past. You help him to focus on the way that you want him to go, and you anoint him for the task that you have chosen him for. But bless him and his family, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Jim, we lay our hands upon you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We pray your blessing upon you and your wife. Have you got children? How many? We pray for your children. Put a wall of fire around your house. We pray, Lord, for financial provision. We pray that you put barbed wire around him with regard to the devil. And we ask you, Lord, to bless him, provide for him, and use him for your glory. And we separate you this day with the sign of the cross to follow after Christ. And the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that as you've given Jim the ability to diagnose weather patterns, Lord, I pray that supernaturally you'll give him the ability to diagnose affairs of the heart, what's going on in people's lives, and then, Lord, again, to provide the solution. And Lord, give him words, give him wisdom, courage, but mercy, love, sensitivity, Lord, all the softer sides as well. Lord, thank you that you brought this guy into our orbit. Lord, that it's been a good holy match, and I pray, Lord, that we will be a blessing to him as he's a blessing to us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for all the love and support and care that Jim and Janet have given to me. Lord, I just pray that others are able to surround them and to offer them the exact same. Lord, they're going to need support. And Lord, I just pray that people come round. In Jesus' name.
And lastly, Lord, we just pray for Jim that you would really bless him. And those words that keep coming, the scriptures, that those who you call, you will equip. And so we pray for that anointing upon Jim and that equipping that he would really gain and move into with your power to bring many to faith in Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. No turning back. No turning back. Give Jim a big round of applause. It's a great pleasure to work with Jim, well, most of the time, but no. But God has very clearly anointed him, so please do pray for him. We'll get more information out, etc. But the other thing is that those of you who have ever worked in a joint job, I've done that, some of you might have done, so he's doing two-thirds to a third, you know, so pray that the checks and balances that we keep on Jim and Janet will be good, because you know what it's like, if you're anywhere near Keene, you'll be doing two full-time jobs, which we don't want, and so the balance between ourselves and what we ask of Jim on the road and what he's doing in Killiecumaine on the estate need to be worked through and balanced. So just pray for your prayers that we're whatever's right is the balance, where we get it right. This is not a matter of just saying, well, okay, 6 hours a week you'll be working this week and 12. Of course, missions are, you know, a different sort of kettle of fish. They'll be dotted all over the place. So please pray for that, that there'll be a balance that we keep right, that will keep him sane and all the rest. He gets the right time off. Okay. God bless. Thank you.